It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
When I think of the book of John, I think of the one who penned down the words that God would have him write. God is the author of the entire scriptures that we read in the Bible. But he used men of old, men who were holy, to pen down the words that he would have them speak and teach. And that's where we come in today. We use the words that these men of God left us in the scriptures. Actually, God has done it all. God was the author, and God has left the Word of God to us so that we wouldn't have to be men blindly stumbling along in life, wondering what's going to take place in our lives. We have two choices. One is to follow Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and the other one is simply go through life without Jesus Christ and then end up for eternity, in a place called hell and the lake of fire. Well, that's something that you and I need to consider, and I've already considered that, and I've trusted Jesus as my Savior, and I pray that you've done the same thing. If you haven't, why not trust Him as your Lord and Savior? Well, we pick up our study in the book of John in chapter 12. We read verse 32 the last time where it says, "And I, if I be lifted up," this is speaking of Jesus, He said, "And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." I made comment that God is no respecter of persons. He does not choose who's going to be saved and who's going to go to hell. This is not the way it's done according to the scripture. When men say that God is choosing certain individuals to go to heaven and some will go to hell, they are simply not rightly dividing the word of truth. And I believe that that is one thing that each of us need to do as saved people. We need to rightly divide, and that means getting into the Word and letting the Spirit of the Lord lead and guide us. Now, I know that there's some big-named preachers. I call them big-name preachers, some who are really prominent in the world today, who will try to tell you certain things about the Bible, such as there's only a certain amount of people going to be saved, and that those who are going to be saved, God is the one who calls them. And that is true, that God does call. But these people will try to tell you that He only speaks to a certain amount or a certain few people to come to Him to be saved. Well, I simply say this. I do not consider myself a Bible scholar. I do consider myself a student of the Bible. And as I study and read the Word of God, God has promised me that He will open the Scriptures to me. And as a child of God, I have the Spirit who lives within me. And that Spirit is the one who will impart the truths of the Word of God. Remember, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. We're saved by the Word of God. We're kept by the Word, and that's Jesus Christ. And we understand the Scripture by the Word of God. The Holy Spirit is God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We have access to each one of these. We have access to the Word of God, the printed Word, through the Holy Spirit, and then we have access to Jesus Christ. We go to the Lord in prayer, and that is our Lord. Jesus Christ is our Lord, those of us who are saved. Then Jesus Christ takes our prayer to God the Father. So we actually have access to all three, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And this is something that many people get confused about. But God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they're all one God. They're all the same. They simply have different acts to perform. They simply do different things. And this is something that Jesus Christ, one of the things that He would do, He says, "If I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." He's prophesying of His coming crucifixion here, His coming death. And this once again tells me that all people could be saved if they wanted to. for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 33, Jesus said this. He said it signifying what death he should die, and that is the fact that he was lifted up on the cross. The people answered him, "We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Well, the people evidently understood what Jesus was saying here, that he would be lifted up, he would die. They understood what he was saying, and at the same time, he told them he was the Christ, he was the one who had come to save people, but these people, some of them couldn't understand. Who is this Son of Man, these people ask in verse 34. Verse 35, then Jesus said unto them, "Yet a little while is the light with you." Now, he's talking about himself here. He goes on to say, "Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth." Well, that's true, even in the physical world that we live in. If you don't have light, you're going to stumble. If you're getting up out of bed for some reason in the dark, you stub your toe or whatever. Well, that's the way it is. When Jesus Christ was here, he said, "You need to follow me while I'm here. You need to listen to me. I am the light, and I'm leading you out of darkness. You're in darkness right now, and if you want to be saved, you need to follow the light. You need to get into the light. Let the light guide you." Verse 36, and Jesus Christ is the light. Verse 36 says, "While you have light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus and departed, and did hide himself from them." Now, I believe he hid himself for a few different reasons here. I believe that he hid himself, first of all, because it was not his time to go to the cross. There were those there, no doubt, who wanted to kill him. We've read about that in the chapters that we've read up to this point. Many wanted to kill him. They wanted to take his life. But Jesus said, "No man is going to take my life. I lay down my life." He says, I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to raise it up again," which he did. He was resurrected from the dead. He did that. And there were also people not only who wanted to kill him, but there were also people there who wanted to take him immediately and make him a king so that he could set up his kingdom. Well, that wasn't time yet for that. And we know as we study the scriptures that there will be a time when Jesus sets up his millennial kingdom and he will actually rule with a rod of iron. Here we see him. He came as the lamb. As we've been studying in the book of John, he came as a lamb, one who was going to lay down his life. But when Jesus comes again, I'm not speaking of the rapture of the church when he comes back to save people. I'm speaking when he comes back in his second coming to set up his millennial kingdom. He will come back as king. He will rule with a rod of iron. He will be the one who is completely in charge. He's not going to put up with any foolishness. He's going to see to it that this world is run properly. And you say, "Well, what is proper?" Well, whatever he decides, that's going to be proper. He's going to rule it according to what he wants, not according to what the devil wants, because when the millennium starts, the devil is already in the bottomless pit. He's not able to influence anybody at that time. Of course, he will be brought out of that bottomless pit at the end of the millennium, once again to tempt people and to take people astray. Then we see that Jesus Christ will destroy those individuals along with the devil at the end of the when they come up against the Lord at the end of the millennium. Well, that's another study in itself. Well, Jesus has told the people, "You need to walk in the light while the light is here. You need to listen to me now." Verse 37 of John chapter 12 goes on to say, but remember, he hid himself. "But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him." There were many people who did not believe on Jesus Christ, although they had seen the miracles. I made mention before that the Jews require a sign. He was giving them plenty of signs here in order for them to be saved, but they would not believe. Verse 38 goes on to say that the saying of Isaiah, the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Now I would ask you to go back and read the book of Isaiah and search out that scripture where it says, Lord, who hath believed our report? I'm not going to tell you where it's at right now. You need to go look it up. And that's how we learn, and that's how we grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, by getting our spiritual appetite whetted by someone who says, well, I'm not going to tell you where that's found. You need to go look it up. That's how we learn. We look things up in the scripture, and we find it out for ourselves. And it's as though a light bulb goes off when we do see those things. And God blesses us that way when we get serious with him and we start studying his word. Verse 39, John 12, therefore, they could not believe because that Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. This word hardened the heart means that these people actually had hardened their own hearts, that God allowed this to take place because he's not going to force anyone to be saved. He's not going to force someone to, if they're in a church service, he's not going to force them to go forward and tell someone, ask someone to show them how to go to heaven, then kneel at the altar or what have you. These people, they were blinded, but God is not going to force anyone to get saved. Just as he's not going to refuse anyone who wants to get saved. That person must come to him faith believing that he is God, that he is the Son of God, that he is the Savior, and he's willing to save them. They must come that way. They must come faith believing. Well, notice in verse 41, these things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. Jesus Christ is saying here that Isaiah saw his glory. Isaiah actually had seen the Lord. And this would be a pre-incarnate Christ who made an appearance to Isaiah. And we read about this through the Old Testament, how that Christ did come in the Old Testament scriptures there that we read of. He did come and he appeared before certain individuals. This would be a pre-incarnate Christ. In other words, before Christ came, was born of a virgin, and before he went to the cross. But Jesus Christ even told Isaiah that he was going to go to the cross. But then we read, who's going to believe our report? Who's going to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he is the Savior of the world? Well, thank God there are individuals who believe that he is the Savior of the world. And those people one day will be in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll be there with you if you've trusted him as your Lord and Savior. We're going to rejoice together. The Bible says that when we're there, when we go to be with the Lord, there's the judgment seat of Christ for the bride of Christ, for the church. When we go there to be with the Lord, we go to the judgment seat to receive the things we've done in this life. We'll receive a reward or we won't receive a reward. But I believe that many people will be there who receive rewards, who are able to cast their crowns. That's a reward, the crown. We'll be able to cast our crown at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll kneel down and we will worship him in person at that time. And my question today is, do you know him as your Savior? Will you be with me one day in heaven? Well, I pray that you will be, and I pray for you. I may never see you personally, but I pray for you as you listen to this program. May God help you to understand you can be saved and you can go to heaven.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.